I happen to love playing guitar, and if you were to go online and type in top 10 greatest guitarists of all time, so if the list is legitimate, so within 2, 3, 4, or 5 or so, in that range, you'll usually have Eddie Van Halen, you'll have Jimmy Page, you'll have Eric Clapton, B.B. King, and the order between different lists could vary. However, any list that's legitimate will have Jimi Hendrix as the number one greatest guitarist of all time. And what's wild to think about is that if you were to think about the greatest musician of all time for a certain instrument, you would think that the person's got to be 50 or 60 years old, 70 years old. And Jimi Hendrix died of an overdose at the age of 27. And it's amazing to think that he was able to still, years later after his death, is still considered the greatest guitarist of all time, even though he lived such a short life. But that notion of being the greatest of all time in your 20s is something that is unheard of in the realm of Torah, and for certain reasons, which we'll unpack right now together. Firstly, just think about it for a second. If you picture a great Rav, picture some of the Gedolei Yisrael. Think about a few Rabbanim in your mind right now. Any person, almost any person, likely that you're thinking about is probably someone in their 70s, 80s, or 90s. And if you're thinking about someone who passed away, you're probably imagining them when they were in their 70s, 80s, or 90s. And to the point where all of us, if you take for Moshe Feinstein, for example, all of us could imagine what he looked like right now. But almost none of us could imagine what he looked like at the age of 35. We could uncover pictures of what he looked like at that age, but it's not what's in our mind. Because I guess fame that a Gadol Yisrael gets is after years and years of dedication and years of mastery of Torah and perfection of one's midos. And it's only with the test of time, after years of giving over of oneself totally to Torah and mitzvos, that's where a person becomes a Gadol. And it's not something that would ever happen when someone is in their 20s or 30s. It would be nearly impossible for a person to have learned and perfected one's midos to such a high level at that point. And when we speak of these great Rabbanim, and we include within it, we go back in time, we include the Tanaim, the Amoraim, the members of the Anshei Knesset Gdola. So we're talking about people who are totally out of our league. A lot of times, high school students sometimes get frustrated by Dinim Derabanan. They say, like, who are these rabbis? So I explain to them, one of my first points is, don't think that it's people like me making these laws. I said, we're talking about people who are head over heels, above and beyond what we could imagine. People who have all of Torah on their fingertips. And the authority that they have, the Chazal were given, this comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and is strongly emphasized in this week's Parsha. We're told in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Al Pi HaTorah Asher Yorucha Val Mishpat Asher Yomru Lecha Ta'aseh. That which the Torah they teach you, and the laws that they explain to you, and tell you what to do. Lo sasur min adavar sher yagidu lecha yamin u'smol. You can't veer from their words. You can't veer to the right, can't veer to the left. You have to do exactly as they say. And the Meshech Chachma explains that one of the reasons for this is because we don't want to create splintering groups within Klal Yisrael. We don't want it to be where there's 100 different options of what the halacha should be. And it was, for example, he brings up, it was decided, or maybe I saw it in the footnotes, where it's decided that, let's say, we paskin like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai in majority of the cases. And the few, of course, where we paskin like Beis Shammai, so all of Klal Yisrael knew that in those specific situations, we paskin like Beis Shammai. But it's to make sure that you don't have different groups and different factions within Klal Yisrael. Some hold like this, some hold like that. And I'll read from his words. He says, HaTorah Mesura Biyad Kalechad. Had the Torah been given to have, you have one person saying this is Allah, another person says this is Allah, V'yasu Agudos Agudos. You're going to have so many different groups, V'yis Parid HaKeshar Klali. And you're going to break off from the connection of of the totality. Ma shemisnagi l'ratan Hashem, and this goes against the Ratan Hashem. Sheyeh am echad l'shmo l'chachamim, because we are one nation, we're supposed to together listen to the words of the Chachamim. And he says, the Gemara Yerushalmi in Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet, it says, yesh behem kalim, that when it comes to the mitzvos in general, we have yesh behem kalim, yesh behem chamurim, we have certain, let's say, easier mitzvos, and we have more strict mitzvos. This applies both to the mitzvos asay and to the mitzvos los asay. And he says, however, he says, this is a powerful line, aval divrei sofrim, when it comes to the words and the mitzvos of the Rabbanan, the Chazal's, let's say, institutions, the rabbinic institutions, he says, kulam chamurim him. They're all strict. Every single one of them. So you have a kalim mitzvos d'oraisa, but every mitzvah d'rabbanan is considered chamur. And he explains. He says, because when it comes to the mitzvos d'oraisa, let's say you have, his example is, let's say, something that inherently is mitame the nefesh. Something, let's say, eating not kosher. So it's a bad sin, of course. It's a terrible thing to do. But he says, when it comes to the mitzvos d'rabbanan, even if you think it's small, he says every single time you were to violate that, you are actually violating a big, big law of not listening to the Chachamim. Every single rabbinic law that one would violate is violating the greater rabbinic law, and really from the Torah in this week's parsha, of the sin to not listen to the Chachamim. And Chazal made sure to do what was necessary for the Jewish people. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, it discusses, let's say, one of the entry exam to be a member of the Sanhedrin. So firstly, you have to be, imagine, an amazing, amazing person in so many different degrees. The Gemara says, Amar B'Yochanan, Emo Shivim Sanhedre, you're not going to be seated on the Sanhedrin as a member, Ela Ba'ali Koma, someone who has a great stature, Ubali Chachma, who has tremendous wisdom, Ubali Mara, someone who has, I believe, Yer Shamayim is what it's saying, Ubali Zikna, someone who has older age, really, or Zesh, Akona Chachma, of course, we know, Ubali Kshafim, someone who understands, let's say, black magic and witchcraft. V'yodim b'shivim lashon, someone who speaks all 70 languages. And then the Gemara continues. Amar Yehuda Merav, he says, Emo shivim sanhedrin elamishi odea letahar et hasheret minatora. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, that a person won't be able to sit on the Sanhedrin unless you know how to purify a sheret. Now the problem is that a sheret is inherently tameh. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav. Rav says, Ani adum v'tarenu. He says, I could do that. I could purify sheretz. And to the simple understanding of the Gemara is that a person has to have such tremendous pupil in knowledge and such logical argumentation and understanding to be able to take something that's inherently impure and to try to find reasons to purify it. But the Kli Yakar on this says a beautiful thing. Kli Yakar says, is also Kli Yakar on the Pasuk from before, where he says, Vitamo shel davar, what does this Gemara mean that you have to purify something that's a sheretz? He says, Vitamo shel davar, she'im lef amin tzrichin lahora sha'a, that if sometimes, and there are certain times throughout Jewish history, certainly, where they needed to act in a very bold manner, for something that was important and needed for that time. Lifsok neged haTorah, to do something, to paskin against the Torah. Mishum eis lasos laHashem hefarat Torah secha. Because we're told in Tehillim in Perek Kuf Yutet, that there's sometimes eis lasos laHashem, there's a time that's needed for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if it seems to go against the Torah. And he continues the Kli Yakar, as yachol ha-chacham o ha-navi litzarif lesfaras eis lasos laHashem, that a chacham or a navi is able, in certain situations, to paskin even against the Torah, if that's what Klal Yisrael needs. Because there are certain times where Klal Yisrael is in a dire situation, and Chazal know that if they were to keep exactly the way, the strict laws of what the Torah mandates for them, then there'd be a big issue at hand. whatever it may be, whatever the circumstance may be, and they're able, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them the ability to paskin against the Torah. One of the biggest, greatest examples of this is the fact that there is an iser, there's a prohibition to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? It's funny that we learn Gemara, and we think we are learning the oral law. It's supposed to be passed over from one's mouth, right? And yet we're reading it from a book. And throughout many, many, many years of Jewish history, though, it was totally prohibited to ever write that down and to read Torah Shebaal Peh from a book. But Chazal realized and they recognized that had it not been written down, it was going to be forgotten. And they made the call. And they said, it's better for us to violate that avera of not writing down the oral law than to forget the oral law. And it was that they're able to have the continuity of the Jewish people. And you might be thinking, you know, that over time, we've undergone tremendous Yiridas Hadoros. And we don't have people like Rabbi Akiva, or Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, or Hillel, or Shammai. We don't have those people with us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Gedolim in every generation that are equipped and who are best to understand our needs specifically. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed us also in this week's Parsha, in Perek Yedzayin Pasuk Tes, he says, "Ubata el kohanim halevim v'ela shofet asher yeh b'yamim ahim." And you should go to the kohanim, the levim, and the judges there b'yamim ahim during your days. And Rashi picks up on that, and Rashi quotes the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't quote the whole thing, but I'll read from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, "V'chi tale al dascha she'adam holich etel hadayan shelo hayav b'yamav." It doesn't make sense that the Torah would say you should go to those rabbis, let's say, who are in your days, during your lifetime. Obviously, ask the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, where else are you going to go? You're going to go to rabbis who are not living during your lifetime? And the Gemara says, Ha'ein l'cha leilich ella etel shofet shebiyama. Of course, you have to go to the rabbis during your days. V'omer al tomar. And don't say, Al tomar ma haya shayomim harishonim hayutovim ila. Don't say that, oh man, the previous rabbis were so much greater than these rabbis. Don't say that. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these rabbis specifically catered for us, for our generation, and for the needs of our generation. And our Rabbanim that we have, they are a connect link. They are the connection all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And we have a link of an unbreakable chain. And there's a story that I witnessed about, it's probably 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, my first or second year teaching in Kushner. There was a rabbi there named Rabbi Shimshon Jacob. Right now he lives in Eretz Yisrael. And he did the following. We daven as a school together every Friday in the Beis Medrash. And he printed out pieces of paper with a number and the name of usually it's a rabbi, as you'll hear, but a name of a person and a number on it. And he randomly handed it out to the boys and the girls section throughout the Beis Medrash. And he said, I want you, whoever has number one, I want you to start off and call off who you have. And then if you have number two, you're going to follow. So everyone, follow along. He says, number one. And someone calls out, Moshe Rabbeinu. Says number two, Yehoshua. Number three, Pinchas. Number four, Eli HaKohen. Number five, Shmuel. Number six, David. And so on and so forth. And he printed out and gave out to the kids. Almost every person had one person on their piece of paper who was responsible for continuing the Mesorah all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. And we mamish have the list. We could show our direct line all the way back to Moshe. And it's an amazing thing. It was amazing to hear as the numbers go on and on and on that this is our connection. This is our Mesorah. And the Rabbanim we have in our generation continue that link. Continue that link from Moshe Rabbeinu and continue the continuity of keeping the Torah authentic and keeping the Torah real. And we turn to them for assistance. We look to them for guidance. And we shouldn't say, oh man, I wish I had greater Rabbanim like they had 100 years ago or 200 years ago. That would have been so much better for us. These Chachamim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put before us are catered, like I said, specifically for our door. And without Rabbanim, in our generation, without Rabbanim, if there would be a lack of any generation without Rabbanim, so of course, Judaism, as we know, would have ceased to exist. And we need to follow the words of Chazal, to listen to them, to seek Eitzah from them, and to realize that the continuity of the Jewish people rests on their shoulders, and our adherence to their words is not just like, who are they? But it's mamish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanding us in this week's Parsha, you must listen to them. What they tell you, you have to do, because Hashem knew how important it is for us to be able to have Rabbanim, to have people who are the transmitters of the Torah Akdosha to each and every one of us.